So that's our passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to look at the opening verses once again. And as I just say that, I also welcome those who are now listening online. We're glad that you can join us. So in these verses, the Apostle Paul gives us this guideline. Gives us a pattern for church outreach, church evangelism, so that we have this gospel, but the call is, and it shouldn't really have to be a call, is that we want others to come to know Jesus as their Saviour. We want others to come and join us on a Sunday and at other times to worship Him. And as I said at the start of our service, that Paul's mission here in this proud, huge city of Thessalonica, one of the very few cities in the Roman Empire that was given freedom. It was a free city. They had their own governor. You remember that the Jews in Jerusalem and in Judea, they were under Rome's rule, but they didn't have their own governor. They were appointed a governor. Pilate was the governor appointed by Caesar. But here at Thessalonica, they were such a great city that they were allowed to be a free city under Rome. And in that massively proud big city, Paul, Timothy and Silas had arrived with nothing. They were old men, except for Timothy, worn out, bleeding, battered, smashed up. They arrived with just one thing, the gospel. The same thing that we have. And they arrived in a city that wouldn't listen. They were looking after themselves fine. They didn't need any saviour, thank you very much. And Paul brought this message and it turned that city upside down. It's amazing. And surely we sat here this morning in this area, not quite a city, but an area of Beldon and Shipley. We would love to see God do that again through the simple gospel. And so Paul now sets out for the church, the outline of the kind of evangelism that God hears and works and responds to. And I want to know, and I'm sure you do, I want to know how this church and how I as an individual can begin to be used by God to win others for Christ. So verse 9 we read, surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. And this is the first point that Paul makes to the church. He says that outreach, witness, winning others is hard work. In fact, the NIV is a little bit weak at this point. I'm glad that Peter read something slightly different, because the sense of the Greek at this point is stronger than hard work. A better translation, and it's there in the Authorized Version and in the New King James Version and others, it says that it's labour and toil. It's more than hard work. It is hard work, but it's labour. And of course, labouring, when we think of work and we think of a labourer, they're the ones that always get all the hard stuff. On a building site, the skilled men are up on the scaffolding laying the bricks, and the labourer is the one who piles up 9 or 10 of them on a carrier and has to climb the ladder all day And at the end of the day, he's worn out. That's the word, that's the sense that Paul brings here. It's the same word that we use for ladies, don't we? I have no experience of this. I kept well clear when Paulie was having our children, not like the modern fashion. I would have fainted if I'd have seen anything going on. But I understand that this is the word that is used for the ladies who are giving birth. They go into labour. And they tell me it's tough, something you never forget, it's painful, it's hard. It's something that really takes the whole of you. And that's the sense that Paul says about this winning of others. And it may be the sense that the church is not growing. Because how much of that do we know? Of the hard, really hard graft and labour. There are many in evangelical churches today, Bible-believing churches, many that think that in terms of the growth of the church, reviving the church and outreach, that all you do is you come and pray for it. Well, of course, we should do that. We need the Lord to be at work. But Paul is saying here that we should pray. But in these verses, the Holy Spirit shows us the pattern, the model that God responds to. Just coming and praying, God doesn't respond. We have to do our part. We have to involve ourselves in this hard work of coming out and learning. Coming out on a cold, dark, wet Wednesday evening to the Bible study and the prayer meeting. We will pray. But coming out when we've come home from work or we've had a tough day and you arrive in and you think 7:30, oh, I can't go tonight. That's the toil. Because when you come together to a meeting like that, that's where we learn and we talk and we question and we discuss. You see, you'll never witness if you're not sure of what it is that God is saying. And that, these are the places. So it's hard work to come. I know. I'm the pastor. And I've sat on a Wednesday and thought, oof, I wish there wasn't one tonight. I know it's hard. That's what Paul is saying. This is the pattern. It's not only that, of course. It's the hard work of actually asking God every day, without forgetting, to give you the opportunity to speak. I'll be telling you tonight of a most amazing testimony of a Manchester City footballer who was at rock bottom because he was sacked from Manchester City, one of the best footballing teams in the land, because of alcoholism, and how he sunk to the very depth. I'll be telling you about this, and how one Christian said something that changed the whole of his life. So we need to pray every day. It's hard work for opportunities and to be actively looking for those opportunities. Not just to live every day as though it's an ordinary day. So to be looking for opportunities to tell others. The hard work of making time to seek this. To be actively looking, expecting, thinking of throughout the day. I ask the Lord to open up an opportunity. He hasn't done so far. So come on, Lord, where is it? To be active. It's hard work to do it every day. You might, if some of you are listening to this, you might just do it occasionally next week. But it's hard work to keep it up for the month and the year. It's toil. It's labour. It's hard. The hard work of actively involving yourself in the things this church does throughout the year. There are meetings that this church has, particularly in the spring and summertime, where we make contact with those from outside who never come into church, and it's hard work to involve. Are you involved in it? And that's the question that Paul is saying. We cannot expect God to just answer our prayers if we ourselves are not actively involved where we can be. I mean, the simple things as well that involve toil and hardship. The cleaning of the church. The making sure that things work in the church. The presentation, the gardening. They're all part of being making this church welcoming to people. And the question is, do I play my part? Am I involved in it? Because it's hard. And we'll always have an excuse. There'll always be a reason for us to say no. And Paul says that the part of God's answering of our prayer to build this church will be in correlation to how much effort we prepared to put in. But then there's something else, the second thing that Paul mentions. The first thing is that if we are not committed to giving it our all, ourselves, ongoing, not expecting that the first time we do it some miracle will happen, to be ongoing, dedicated, to show the Lord we mean it. That's the first thing. The second thing is in verse 10. He says, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous and blameless we were among you who believed. This is a second point that he makes. We're shown at this point that the successful message that Paul gave out and produced this great harvest of souls is something that I know I've mentioned several times before, and I preach it to myself. Because all the preaching, all the Bible studies, all the cleaning of the church and all the gardening and all the prayer will be fruitless unless something of the change of becoming a Christian and having a passion for Jesus is seen in me and is seen in you. So, no one, let me say this to you again, no one of your family or your friends or your neighbours will be drawn to hear the gospel if your life has a shallow take it or leave it Christianity. They won't believe it. Paul says, you remember our toil and hardship, but you remember also how holy, how righteous, how blameless. It was their life that witnessed as well. As well as their hard work. Hard work on its own won't do it, but there was this massive witness and testimony from their lives. You see, if I give you a silly example, when I played golf up at Bailden Golf Club, I played with a little group of about five or six of us. And after we got to know each other, we decided that it would be a good thing to have a meal together. So we stood in the car park at Bailden and we began to organise a meal for Saturday. We were all telling where we were going to go. I ended up not going because they decided on a curry house. So I couldn't go, but they decided where to go and what time. And then suddenly they said, hang on, John won't go. Not this John. John won't go. Why not? Well, it's Saturday. What's wrong with... Saturday's his golf day. Nothing will ever stop John from playing golf on his golf day. Nothing. It doesn't matter whether he's ill, whether he's got a headache or an ingrown toenail, whether the family's coming, whether it's Christmas. It doesn't matter. He'll always be there. So someone said, well, just ask him. But of course, when we asked him, no way. And I know that's a silly illustration. But I say to you, that's golf, hitting a little ball about. What about salvation? What about our Saviour? What about those who are on the broad road, the Bible says, leading to a lost eternity? Eternity in hell, the torment of hell. What about that? Are you going to just buy into Satan's lie? Satan's big lie in this day and age and has spread through the church It's called friendship evangelism. And it goes like this, and it will happen to you and me this Christmas. It goes like this. Prayed for the opportunity. I really, really want my family, my friends, I really want them to know Christ. And so around the Christmas period when they're gathered, a word is said. And it's just an open door to be able to stand for Jesus. But we say, Satan's like them and say, it's Christmas. Don't you start spoiling the family gathering at Christmas by going on about what. Just keep going. There'll be another opportunity. Don't worry. Satan's lie. And Satan's lie says, oh, it doesn't matter whether you're not in church. It doesn't matter when your family or your friends say, we're just having this one-off special, you know. It just happens to be on a Sunday, you know, but it's only once. And Satan's lie will come. And the lie is simply this, that they now see in you that it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. All your words about, all your going on about how wonderful Jesus is, when they actually look at how you make your choices, they say, it doesn't matter. Anything that we plan, they'll fit in with. Satan's lie. And so Paul is saying to us, there's this second thing. You've got to live it for them to believe it. They've got to see the difference. They've got to see that the joy that they're looking for, you have. And it's not in the alcohol. It's not in the parties. Well, we enjoy that, of course we do. And I'm not saying that we give our family and friends the cold shoulder. Of course we don't. But when the choice comes, Paul is saying, we choose Jesus. And it might upset them. It might even offend them. But ultimately, they will see, like my friend John at the golf, that nothing, nothing, nothing stands in the way of his passion. And nothing shall stand in the way of my passion. Jesus Christ has saved me from the vilest life of sin. I don't know why. I never deserved it. I'll never understand in all eternity. But he's done it. And I want to make him my passion, my life. So those are the steps that any church, any individual needs to follow for the Holy Spirit to bring unbelieving people to faith in Jesus Christ. Hard work, not giving up, living a life that shows Jesus and coming to worship him is your passion. It'll be hard. You'll think you're going to upset folk. You'll think that it's only once. Make it your passion. Share the good news. Having said that, I need to just go on a little bit more to say that Paul tells us that this is tough to do with family and friends and relations and colleagues. And so he goes on to say, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging you. And then earlier in the passage he says that we were like young children among you, and we were just as a nursing mother cares for her children. Paul is saying in this that as we do this, and it will be hurtful when we say to family who've organised the party for Sunday, I can't come. It will be hurtful. I can't come. Why not, Dad? Well, because that's the day that I go to thank Jesus for saving my soul. And one of these days I want you to be able to thank him. It'll be, I need to be gracious and gentle. I don't need to be bashing them on the head with the Bible, quoting verses to qualify why I'm turning it down. Paul says it's like as though we were a nursing mother with a little baby. Gentle. Knowing what's best for that baby actually making what's best for that baby, but doing it gently. So, having pointed all of that out, let me just start to finish this by saying one or two more words about those two aspects. This matter of sharing the gospel. It's just so vital that you and I, as representatives of God, that we do represent God. That our language changes. That we, the way we speak, so that we work hard to try to make sure that there's no bad language from our mouths. I've met Christians who were converted and they used to swear and blaspheme, and it took them a long time to get rid of it, but they worked at it, and God will help us. No bad language from our mouths, no gossip, no using the name of God wrongly. That we will ask him to help us to be patient. Something I need. Patience. No ill temper. That our honesty shines out. We don't pinch things from work. That we don't mislead people. Our honesty. The way that we live. And all that we do, so that kind of life Jesus takes and shines through us. We don't see it ourselves, but he shines through us, so that people begin to say, there's something different about that David Morris. There's something different about you. You know, I never hear them swear. I never hear them gossiping. I know they never pinch stuff when others do from work or you know what I'm saying. There's something different. The Bible calls it the fruit of the Spirit. Peter will tell you, he did a good series at our Bible study. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. All these things that the Spirit will grow in a Christian's life, and they will shine out to others. And as that grows within a person, we find that it comes through the preaching of the Word of God. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, and the day that we spent, in order not to burden you with we worked night and day, our toil and hardship, to preach the gospel of God to you. You see, that change comes from the change of the Thessalonian Christians came from the fact that they'd taken in the word of God preached. Very rarely go through a year without hearing this from other ministers in Bearden, particularly at times like now, Christmas and Easter, when I never hear from them, but they do contact me at these kind of times, normally asking if our church will be involved in Shipley Churches Together. I'm going down that track with you, but as I turn them down... because of their views of Christmas, so that our name doesn't go on the leaflet. I'm often spoken to like this. Why is your church so different to ours? Why is your church, as we've looked on the website, so obsessed about this preaching bit? You know, I understand that you have a 25 or 30 minute slot in every service to do with preaching. Don't you know all that's gone now? You're living in the dark ages. Why aren't your services more like ours? We don't do any of that now. That's why our churches are full. We've got people, but they just come in for a chat. We spread newspapers around and we sit and talk and chat and we have a cup of coffee and then we might have a bit of drama. It's exciting. And we've got a band and a choir. Why is your church not like that? Well, don't get me wrong. I don't want this church to be some kind of boring, somber place. But let me give you the answer. And the answer is simply this. It's the truth of the Word of God that saved my soul. It wasn't sitting round a coffee table It wasn't a bit of drama or listening to a bit of music or a choir. It's not dancing or chatting. None of those things ever saved a soul. It's just this one thing, the truth of the gospel. That's why we preach it. That's why I spend all of the week preparing. You might think when you've listened to this, you wish you'd have prepared a bit longer. There's not much in that. That's why I spend all week preparing. That's why I come here week by week to preach the message. I'll tell you why. It's because my heart breaks. I mean it. My heart breaks when I think that some of you here have been coming for months, even years, some of you, and you've never really found Jesus as your Saviour. And it breaks my heart that the Bible says that anyone who does not come to Jesus and give their lives to him so that their lives now change, so they're very different, is on the broad road that leads to destruction. It breaks my heart to think that time after time after time you've listened to the gospel and you're still not a follower of Jesus. And so I plead with you. Plead with you to stop gazing around or reading a book or not really listening, thinking about what time is it. Well, it's 22. I've still 5 minutes to go yet, so hang on there. It breaks my heart to think that you come every Sunday and you've never given your life to Jesus. And you're heading for a lost eternity. You'll have a great Christmas, I'm sure you will. But what happens on the day that you have to come and face God? And so to those here, and the majority I know, who have come and given their lives to Jesus and see him as their Lord, my simple question is, can you come week by week and hear this word of God week by week and hear God's call to you to be different, to be a bit more serious, not to have one foot still in the world and, yeah, one foot in the church, to still be half-hearted with your choices? Can you keep coming? You see, do you ever respond to the word of God? Do you ever ask God to say, what I've heard this morning, Lord, I need your help to change. I've got a track record of letting you down in this area of outreach. You've got to help me to change. Is the word of God preached, which I know most of you value, that's the reason you're here, you could go to churches that sit around coffee tables, but is the word of God preached at work within us, changing us, growing us? What a time of year to look back over 2021 as a Christian and ask myself the question, at the end of this year, am I a little bit, even a little bit, more like my Lord Jesus Christ? Have I grown or have I slipped back? There's no standing still. I'm either growing and progressing in the Christian life or I'm falling back. And it was when the Apostle Peter, he was a disciple at that time, followed Jesus from a distance, it says. When they took Jesus and arrested him, and took him to the court of Herod, to the palace, we read that Peter followed Jesus from a distance. It was when he was following from a distance that he fell and disowned his Lord. Am I following? It's 2021, a time when I look back and think I've grown. Or am I following from a distance? Well, that's the challenge. And I finish with this verse. We thank God continually. It's verse 13. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Is the word of God at work in me? Is it in were at work in you? We never stop thanking him and asking him to use us here to win others for the Lord Jesus Christ.